Was a song by Lito Pimienta from her album La Papessa. You're listening to CKUT, and this is In the Motherhood for September 15th, 2021. My name is Robin Fadden. I'm your host today. And on today's show, we are speaking with playwright and Théâtre Déchaîné founder Marie Ayotte. She has created a play about motherhood, specifically about regretting motherhood, not necessarily regretting having children, but having deep feelings about choosing the life of motherhood. The play is called Soon, Tomorrow, Maybe, and I spoke with Marie about the subject matter of the play, of course, her experiences with the play in French. This is the translation of the play into English, and what her approach is to participatory theater, because this work of theater is different. It's by phone and it's one-on-one. So the outcome could be anything. It depends on who's on the line, what kind of audience member you might be. I'll get into that conversation with Marie right now. Thank you for listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm speaking with Marie Ayotte, who has written a play. It's a participatory play called Soon, Tomorrow, Maybe. And I'm going to have her introduce what the subject of the play is and what her theater company is all about as well. Welcome to the show, Marie.
Hi, thank you.
Thanks so much for being here. So yes, if you could tell us a bit about what the play Soon, Tomorrow, Maybe is about, because it has everything to do with In the Motherhood. It is about mothers. It is feminist leading, and it is pretty fascinating in its structure as well.
So we are Théâtre de Chenet, which is, we do both French and English theater, and we do participatory theater. So we do ethical participatory theater. So it's really about making sure that the audience, the spectator, can participate to every play, but in a way that we're making sure everyone can respect their limits and are comfortable. So if they don't want to participate and confide themselves, it's pretty okay. There's no obligation at all. But we want to make a place for people to have to talk about emotion, to talk about the subject, to let us, the spectator and the actress, know about what's happening with them. So right now we do a play, Soon, Tomorrow, Maybe. It's the first time we do it in English. We did it in French before. And it's about regretting motherhood. So I did 3 years of research with 30 women who, it's really important to know that we don't talk about women that don't like or don't love their child. It's really more about not loving the day-to-day of motherhood, to not be able to find freedom and, you know, peace in that, to be resentful of the day after day after day. And for some women, it's not about, I don't love my child or I won't, but it's more about, you know, if I could go back in time, maybe I won't do the same choice. And we want to make sure that these women are heard, that it's not about judgment or anything like that, but to really listen to them, to know them, to know really what it's about to feel that. So Soon, Tomorrow, Maybe, it's a play by phone. It's one-on-one, so it's one spectator from one actress, one at a time, and it's really a conversation between the actress who play a role, Hélène, and the spectator, can, you know, answer question, ask question, everything, if you want. There's no obligation at all.
You mentioned Hélène. Is she played by one actress?
There's three actresses, Nathalie Tanus, Alexandra Bendin, and Lee Ann Taylor, that do the play, because for one-on-one, some night we have two representations at the same time.
Okay.
So there's three actresses, the same role, but they do it very differently. So it's really interesting that, you know, you have this, their own personality in the role of Hélène.
And would you call them composite personalities based on all the research that you've done?
Exactly. It's a verbatim play. So around 65 to 70% of the play, it's really verbatim. So what the mother told me in the interview, I take some sentence here, other there, and I just put it in a way to make sure that it's the same character that talked to all the play, to make sure that it's cohesive and, you know, everything works well. But other than that, it's really about to make sure that these women, I do them justice. Mm-hmm. To make sure that what I say and what I write, because I'm the writer and the director of the play, It's everything that you want to say, but you cannot because they are shy, because they fear, because we don't talk about it at all.
When do people get the chance to talk about these things that it has to be talked about in safety in many ways? It has to be talked about from the heart. Often some people might never talk about regretting motherhood unless it's in therapy or something like that.
And even that, sometimes they don't feel, you know, safe to do it, not because of therapy, but just because we are so sure that it's a really, really bad feeling to have, to that make them a so bad person,
right,
that they don't want to say it to anyone. And also there's the other side of thing, the child of these women, because like I said, we did the play 25 times in France. We know a little how people react and everything. And some people were the child of these mothers. These mothers now sometimes dead or don't want to talk with their children about that. So I don't want to say things for anyone, but I know that some people make them feel better to see other side of their mothers and maybe learn a little more really about their situation.
Yeah, and that's something in the mainstream representations of mothers. Mothers aren't always seen or represented as a whole person with such a complexity of emotion. Often they're represented as somebody who is always tied to their child, you know, and that is their main relationship, or with their partner. But that inner life, that inner world, that's not always shared. And in a play like this, it's quite amazing to see that being shared. And it is super complex. That's why I'm so fascinated that you're doing it as a one-on-one play that allows for that complexity.
Yeah, exactly. I did a lot of research to make sure that we talk about every side of motherhood in a way that is respectful, but not shy to talk about, you know, the more complex thing about, you know, maybe the jealousy that sometimes you can have for your child that have all these opportunities that you don't as a mother. To know there's so many things to be always a mother and maybe always waiting, always thinking about your child. You know, all the things that you need to be perfect, to be the porn style woman in the bedroom and to be the superwoman when you're at the school. And, you know, there's so many things. And as a mother, as a woman, so many don't talk about it. They just like this force for their child, for the family, for everything. But we don't know their secret. We don't know their, like you say, inner life. It's just, you know, they just do and don't talk. So I just wanted to make sure that we know other side of this. And for also some men that do the play, you know, this is the first time they know that this condition, that this feeling could exist. There's some men that didn't even know that some women regret motherhood. So we want to make sure that the first time they know, they heard about it, it's in a safe and respectful place. It's not about judgment. And it's about, you know, all the motivation and all the inner feeling that you can have about it. So there may be one time the talk to a woman that feel it, you're much more able to have a real conversation about it because they know much more.
I wanted to get into the structure of how this play unfolds. It's one-on-one, it's by phone. And why did you choose that form to present the play? What does it allow you?
There's so much intimacy by the phone, and there's a way that you don't see the other people. And I like it because sometimes when you are, you know, in a traditional theater, sometimes you shy to speak. You don't want to other people to know what you said because you fear to be judged and everything. There's only one person that you don't, that don't know anything else than your first name. My actresses don't know anything other than the first name to the person that it will talk, because I really want to make sure that everything there in the phone being said is confidential. I never heard my own play because nothing in is, you know, recorded. And after that, without seeing faces, sometimes you're much more able and comfortable to confide yourself, to be your true self and say what you really want to say without the fear, without shyness. So you just ask really want to ask and you say what you really want to say. And for a sensible subject like this, I want people to sometimes say, I'm not okay with that. And it's okay. It's really about the conversation and not really about us imposing the subject or this way of thinking. It's about finding a way to understand the other person.
It sounds like it's such a process. We're so used to when we hear about a play, we're so used to sitting in a seat and watching a story unfold, whatever it may be. And this sounds like the audience member gets to be a part of the character's process of discovery or understanding, and even your own. I feel like if I were part of this conversation, if I were part of the audience in this play, the audience of one, I would be having my own discoveries about my own feelings.
Exactly what we want to do. I mean, what I work about, it's really about what we talk is therapeutic theater. And I use that to make sure the security of every member of the audience and also the actress, but also in a way to make sure that everything could be a discovery about ourselves and an experience that is only for you. I write the play not for another person, for you, in a way that it's, if you want to take a place in that play, you can. And you can construct the play with us in a way that is your unique play. Someone else would do something very different. And I mean, the play is around, you know, 55 minutes, but some people go to 2 hours in the play if they want. You do your play the way you want.
That's amazing. It seems like it's a huge undertaking for the actors because it's going to be different every night.
It really is. It really is. But I work with them a lot to make sure that they feel safe and they have the tools to make sure. I mean, we are not therapists. I'm studying to be one, but my actors are not. And we don't want to open doors that we cannot close. But we make sure that the person feel heard, that the person is okay and feel safe, and to give them the resources if they need them to see a therapist or thing after if something, you know, bring them too much emotion. But we make really sure that we do a play that everyone respect their limits, and it's really different for everyone.
Right. Okay. That's interesting to hear that you give them resources afterwards, because who knows what might come up in the process.
Exactly. We really think about every little detail to feel that it's not about, you know, the shock factor and talking about taboo subjects. It's really a play about connecting with things we don't talk about. And it should, because these women feel alone. And we want to make them feel less alone.
Yeah, and that is one of the characteristics of theater. One of the goals of some theater anyway is to bring people together in one way or another.
Absolutely. And I think phone theater is magical in that way. I really want to do theater by phone, by so many ways that people sometimes cannot go to the traditional theater. By phone, even if you're sick or you have to take care of someone else at home and you cannot leave or anything, you can still have theaters. And there's so many ways that we can think to bring theater other than the traditional venue. It's really important for me.
Absolutely. And I didn't ask you this question earlier, but I wanted to ask you, what inspired this play in the first place? Was there a spark? I have to create this. What was it?
Yes. One of my friends told me about her regretting motherhood. And I just didn't know what to say. And I feel really, I was ashamed of myself to don't know what to say. I didn't know what I should tell. And I didn't know pretty much anything. I asked a bunch of questions, but it felt, you know, weird. And I didn't know what I would overstep, and, you know. So I tried to research things to make sure that the next time she have a safe place with me to talk about it. And it just opened a rabbit hole of a person that feels so alone. And I really wanted to help. And the way for me to help is right theater.
Carpet that once more.
You've done this play in French already, as you said, and what has the scope of the experiences of people been? Is there a general range of experiences you could talk about or anything that stands out that maybe your actor, I guess it's all confidential, of course, but maybe just in general?
My actresses told me just, you know, just like big moment, but I don't know anything about which person say things, or we don't know anything because we really respect privacy. But I know that usually person, I mean, it's not a dark play, but it's a heavy play. So some people find it cry or you feel heavy, but usually the feedback is really, really good. We are proud and we feel like we know better how to talk to these women after, or they feel hurt because, I mean, we had some women that it's their own life right now to not regret their child, but regret motherhood. And I think it's helped a lot of people, and I'm proud of that. And in a cultural way also, it's fun because people don't usually go to theater by phone. Sometimes you discover a new way to have, you know, theater, and it's a good stepping way to always go further in the way we do plays in Quebec.
Yeah, and Quebec is such a great place to see theater because often their theater artists in Quebec are experimenting like this. There's a culture of experimentation.
Yeah, it's so important to try things and go forward. And I mean, COVID was hard to everyone, but I mean, there's sort of thing that now we can do and have some grant for it that before we cannot. So yeah, it's really important to always try. And for this kind of play, phone is the best way. It won't have worked the same way in, you know, traditional venues, and the phone is really a way to connect with people in a way I would never expect to do. It's really a magical way to connect with people.
And it's interesting to think about how often people have been on screens during the pandemic and looking face to face. And then the times that I have just spoken, like right now, where I don't have my video on, you're right. As you said before, there's an intimacy just to the voice.
And you don't think about, you know, yourself or you look at the screen or you have nothing else. And in this play, there's no music. There's anything else. It's just only your voice and the voice of the actress. And that's it. It's really the text and the voice of these women, and that's it. And I really wanted to make something pure, that only emotion is there, and to make thing in a way that we can connect on this subject and not, you know, just not tell you things, just that you can feel it too.
Who did you envision and have you seen as the audience for these plays? Who are the people who are booking the tickets and talking to you? Are they only, you mentioned men, but are they only mothers who have had these feelings, or is it broader than that?
It's really, really broader. I mean, we have someone to 90 years old and a girl of 18 at so many. I mean, men is maybe 30 to 40% of the audience right now, and we have mother, but we have also women that choose not to have child. Really, I cannot say there's one trend, because there's really not. It's really broad, and it's the best. I mean, I don't want to make a play only for one type of person. I want to make play that can talk to so many people. Some people educating them, and some people making sure they feel heard. And I mean, I want this experiment to mean something different to each person. That it's what I want, to make things unique for you as a person and as a spectator.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, it's open to anybody, really. But you have to want to go deep, it seems. I mean, each conversation, each play, the play is different every time, right? So each conversation is going to take different people to different places. And some people may go very deep, and some people might not go as deep with this conversation. But you do have to be willing to be open to where this conversation is going to take you. That seems to be the primary thing that people need to be when they enter the play.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the best for you, the time that you will have, and the actresses. I mean, if you don't want to hear about getting motherhood, I don't know why you would do that play. But other than that, just openness, and that's the only thing that you need. After that, we have a play, a text, and you do the part the way you want.
You know, for a lot of people, like we were talking about taboo feelings, is this play moving towards helping people move towards more acceptance of these taboo feelings and trying to eradicate some of the feelings of shame that a lot of women have in this world? Shame is a very powerful thing, and often it's misplaced. And it seems like this play is working towards alleviating some of that shame.
Exactly. There's, like you said, so many shame, and nobody should feel shame in life. I mean, it's a really complex emotion, but emotion that don't give us a lot in terms of helping us in any way. And I mean, regarding motherhood, it's a complex emotion, but it's a hard one, because you feel like as a whole, you just an horrible person. And I want to help these women to see themselves like, you know, strong women. They do the best for their child. They do anything. They love them so, so much. And they do everything right. They cannot control the thing that motherhood is not for them. And surely we cannot know before that we have a child that maybe motherhood is not for us. So shame has no place there. I mean, they do everything as the best they can. We need to really cut them some slack and make sure that they have only the tool to feel the best they can in the way they feel.
Yes, and off the path of motherhood, being a mother, it is, we are told, well, that's natural, that's normal, that's what you should feel great about it. But it's also natural to imagine your life differently. And as women, we're told not to, as mothers, you know, maybe don't imagine your life differently. Everybody else can imagine their lives differently, and that's fine.
Just to be a mother, I mean, that's it. Oh, father, oh, well, you know, it's not great that you did take off, but yeah, okay. A mother, no, you're a mother, that's the first thing. After that, maybe something, but no, mother first. So yeah, no, there's to be other way than that.
Yeah, it's a bit of a double standard, a societal double standard, right? And so I love that this play is unpacking that, and that one-on-one aspect of helping for women to understand their feelings is so important to talk about more and more, whether through a play, whether through conversations that are not a play, and whether through therapy. You know, a lot of people that I know who had birth trauma or feelings of regretting motherhood or anything like this, we end up talking in like one-on-one conversations as it is, and because those are safe places, but you don't usually talk about them, these feelings publicly. So it's nice to see that this play isn't being done on a stage, even though that's the expectation, right?
Yeah. I think it would work. No.
Yeah, it wouldn't. Okay. And so it's been an amazing conversation with you, Marie. Thanks so much. How do people get tickets to the play?
You can go to our website, théâtredeschaînés.com, and you will see we have the English side soon tomorrow. Maybe you can buy a ticket. We are ticket to September 14 until October 17.
And so you said there are a few concurrent performances going on a night because you have three actors. So there's space for people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And what time? Because sometimes I find, like, as a mother, evenings are not always the best for me.
Exactly. We have usually evening 7:30, Sunday 4 p.m. But to be honest, you want other time? No problem. Just write to us. And we do display by ourselves, so we can arrange a time that's better for you. No problem at all.
Okay. That's really good to know. Yeah. Sometimes I see that something I'm really interested in is happening at 7 o'clock at night, and I'm like, but I'm putting my kid to bed right then.
We can do that. Absolutely. We really want to just do something. And as we do, I do it myself, everything, but I want to do the best for people. And I mean, changing time, it's pretty easy. So we can do that.
Amazing. Okay. Thanks so much for talking with us here on In the Motherhood.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was an interview with director and writer Marie Ayotte, who's here in Montreal. And we were talking about her new play, Soon Tomorrow Maybe, which runs from September 14th to October 17th. You can find tickets at Théâtre Déchaînés, théâtredéchaînés.com. And that's where the box office is. And $1 of each ticket sold is donated to the Fondation Mère Avec Pouvoir. Thanks for listening to CKUT. I have another bit of information about something that's going on this month, and that is Pop Montreal, specifically Kids Pop. And this year, Kids Pop is being organized by The Secret Mountain. I spoke with Katie Sale about what will be happening at this year's Kids Pop. I'm speaking with Katie Sale from Montreal-based children's publisher The Secret Mountain, which is organizing a day of fun events for Pop Montreal's Kids Pop on Sunday, September 26th at Parc Saint-Viateur. And we've featured The Secret Mountain on the show before on In the Motherhood. Can you, just as a reminder, let us know what The Secret Mountain specializes in?
So The Secret Mountain publishes picture books But the special component about these books is that they all come with an album. So they include a CD and digital download with original recordings often, or sometimes a compilation of different recordings from classical musicians and things like that.
So now we know, and that it makes sense that the Secret Mountain would be hosting a kids' pop day that includes music and literature and art. So what I know about the event, it's that there's a picnic in the sun, fingers crossed that that sun comes out on the 26th. There's a paper bag puppet making workshop and a parade and then a concert, of course. So how will that day unfold? And for what's the age range that the events are for too?
The age range definitely varies. I think anyone as young as 4 and up will enjoy the day. We're starting at Parc Saint-Viateur with a picnic in the sun, as you said. Hopefully there will be sun. And then we're going to be building paper bag puppets and different props to use in our parade. We'll be joined by a miniature marching band, or mini marching band, I should say, and making our parade along Bernard Avenue all the way to Theater Rialto for the concert, which will be, the musicians at the concert will be Clarel and Geneviève Toupin and friends. And it's going to be featuring animations from the musical picture book, A Picnic in the Sun.
Yeah, it sounds like it's very participatory. The parade is always fun. And for kids to get to be involved in a parade rather than only watch it, that's pretty appealing.
We thought it would be a safe way to get everyone along Bernard from the park to the theater, and also a really fun wait as well. Why not have a parade?
Yeah. And everybody has their puppets and, you know, it's a fun group activity, that's for sure. So you mentioned the book, A Picnic in the Sun. Is that a new publication?
Yes. So A Picnic in the Sun came out September 1st this year. It's an imaginative tale by Christiane Duchesne. And she wrote songs along with it with Jérôme Minière. And the performers at the concert are also the performers on the album with the book. So that's Clarel, a Montreal-based musician, and Geneviève Toupin, who is originally from Winnipeg, but is also based in Montreal.
Okay, and I know that the Secret Mountain publishes a variety of stories and a variety of music, from classical to folk and all kinds of music, French, English. It's a bilingual press. What kind of music is this?
This music I would describe as kind of pop folk, pop rock and roll. It's really upbeat, a lot of fun. There's one song on it that has a bit of a rap vibe to it. There's another song that has more of a lullaby vibe as well. So it's a bit of a combination of different genres, but overall, definitely really upbeat and a lot of fun.
Okay, great. Is there a sing-along aspect to the concert itself?
Not quite, but I think that the songs are easy to pick up. So if the audience did want to sing along, that's definitely possible and definitely encouraged.
And maybe a dance along aspect.
Yes, singing and dancing is encouraged, that's for sure. All respecting COVID protocols.
Yes, of course, we are in these strange times, but yeah. That's great fun. So yeah, it is going to be indoors, but the space is fairly large.
Exactly, it will be at Theater Rialto, but we're only going to be accepting a limited number of attendees so that we can maintain distancing guidelines and respect all of the COVID protocols. So definitely get your tickets as soon as you can, because they are limited.
Okay, that's great to know. And there's one more thing. There's a contest too that involves the puppets. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that, because we're really excited. We'll be teaming up with Replapla, which is a local Mile End-based toy maker here in Montreal. The contest is essentially anyone who creates a paper bag puppet and wants to submit it can just take a picture and send it to contest@thesecretmountain.com. And we'll be drawing a winner that will have their puppet come to life by Replapla. They'll create a custom version of it for them.
Yeah, that's a really fun store. I believe they do repairs of stuffed animals as well.
Yes, they do repairs of stuffed animals. It's a really, really great spot if you're in the neighborhood.
How did the Secret Mountain get involved with Kids Pop this year?
Well, we actually connected with the Kids Pop organizer and said, hey, we'd love to team up with you on something. And we had a few conversations and thought, why not just run the whole the whole Kids Pop event this year. We've also partnered with Drawn In Quarterly. So they'll be helping out in selling copies of the book at the event as well. And the ideas kind of sprung up from there. Our illustrator, Marianne Ferrer, will also be at the event running the workshop, the puppet building workshop. And that sprung into the concert and the parade, and everything kind of started with the book and grew from there.
Okay, that sounds wonderful and organic and very kid-oriented. It's about having fun.
Exactly. And the Kids Pop organizers are so wonderful to work with and so full of ideas. So it's been such a fun process.
So people can find out more about this on Pop Montreal, on popmontreal.com and on Pop Montreal's Facebook site. They have an event for Kids Pop. And how can people find out more about The Secret Mountain?
So you can find out more about The Secret Mountain at thesecretmountain.com.
Well, thanks so much for coming on the show and telling us about this year's Kids Pop. And I look forward to it. I hope I can go with my kid.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I hope you can come.
Yeah. Thanks, Katie. So Kids Pop, A Picnic in the Sun, happens on September 26th. It's a Sunday, and it starts at noon at St. Viateur Park and goes on until about 1:30 or so. And then the parade happens to Rialto Theater, where the concert starts at 2 p.m. And the workshop and the parade are free. The concert is $5, with all proceeds going to the Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Montreal. And you can get tickets for that and find out more at popmontreal.com and on the Facebook event for Kids Pop. Here's a song from the musical picture book, A Picnic in the Sun.
Our day is very long, wakes up with the sun, goes to bed late with the moon, and in between that do it stretches. While it slowly stretches out, we jump up, we laugh, we eat, we dance, we pee, we sing as well, we run in the garden, then we play some games till nighttime. Our day is very long, wakes up with the sun, goes to bed late with the moon, and in between that do it stretches. Our day is very long, wakes up with the sun, goes to bed late with the moon.
Thanks for listening to In the Motherhood this month, and we'll be back next month. If you'd like to drop us a line, you can email inthemotherhood@ckut.ca or follow us on Facebook at ckut-inthemotherhood. And we'll leave the show today with a song by Esmerine from their album Lost Voices, followed by a long song by Bardo Pond. Thanks for listening to CKUT. Have a great night.
Welcome back to Amanda, ladies and gentlemen, friends and comrades. This is your weekly news show with news, analysis, and background on what's happening in Africa. And we have a full day today, a full show today. First, we have Eve Engler from the Canadian Foreign Policy Institute. And as you may be aware, there's an election going on. So he's going to explain some of the ramifications for Africa of Canadian foreign policy and why they should be an election issue and why they aren't. And secondly, you might have noticed last Saturday was 9/11, the 20th anniversary of the War on Terror and how it became the endless wars. So Vice News went and did a report on Somalia to show how one of these endless wars is continuing and the impact of it. And the crisis group, International Crisis Group, has written a report on how to end the endless war, or Africa, escaping 9/11's long shadow. So stay tuned to Amanda.